Chapter 4, Generating Business and Referrals Without Asking, Begging, or Bribing. Okay, so I've told you all the things you shouldn't do to generate business and referrals from your sphere of influence, but what exactly are you supposed to do instead? If you can't ask, beg, or even bribe for business, what's left? Well, you may be disappointed in my answer, but I hope not. My answer isn't earth-shattering or particularly revolutionary, but here it is. In order to inspire the people you know and the people you meet to care about you and your real estate business, you first need to stop doing anything that makes them feel like a number and start doing things that show them, one, you care about them on some level, and two, you're good at what you do. Let's talk about the numbers game. In order to run an effective sphere of influence business model, it's best if you try to break the habit of thinking of real estate as a numbers game. Why? Because if you're going to run a business based on the relationships you already have and those you'll develop in your day-to-day wanderings, you can't treat the people on the other side of those relationships like a number. And you don't have to. In fact, the less you treat your referral sources like numbers, the more productive they'll be for you. Here's the thing. We self-employed real estate agents who have to generate a steady stream of business for ourselves tend to look at prospecting as a volume proposition. We try to touch as many people as we can with our sales pitch in the most efficient manner possible. Even when we're touching our spheres of influence, our efforts tend to be directed to our sphere of influence in total, not to the individuals who make up our sphere of influence. And that philosophy has its place, to be sure. But in a real estate business, each closed sale has the potential to pay our mortgage, our car payment, and maybe even the food bill for the month. In other words, we get big paychecks when we perform. Selling real estate is not a volume business. We don't have to sell 40,000 houses in a year to make a decent living. For many agents, simply selling 10 or 20 will pay the bills quite nicely, or maybe 40 or 50. In any case, that's only a few dozen people in the whole town who have to hire us. Each new client I get gives me a little thrill. When I lose a client for whatever reason, I go into a funk, at least for 15 minutes or so. Our business comes and goes one warm body at a time. Therefore, doesn't it make sense to treat our potential new clients accordingly, as if they're important to us, instead of just a number in our game? My point is that you can approach your business building efforts with a quality over quantity mindset. Good leads come in one at a time, not 10 at a time. So maybe it's worth taking that extra time with each potential lead or lead giver to ensure that the person you're spending time with thinks highly of you and doesn't feel as if he's just a number in your game. How do you do this? From a practical perspective, how do you implement a quality over quantity prospecting strategy? I call it the difference between touching and impressing. Most prospecting programs encourage you to touch your target audience as often as you can, as efficiently as you can. These programs offer systems and tools to make your touches easy to implement and manage so that you can commit to making these touches every month or every other week or however many times the program advises you to do. The premise of all this touching is that unless you're in someone's face or mailbox on a relatively consistent basis, they'll forget all about you when it comes time to make a real estate hiring or referral decision. And yes, I agree that it should be part of your business plan to stay in front of the people you know and the people you meet. But I propose that instead of depending on an impersonal and sales pitchy mass touching campaign, we also incorporate a philosophy of impressing people when the opportunity arises. Remember, our business typically comes in one warm body at a time, so if we take the time to impress people, one at a time, every impressed person has the potential to make a real difference in our year. Imagine if you impressed one person a day. In a month, that's 30 people on the planet who think you're pretty cool, as opposed to 30 people on the planet who simply sort of recognize your name. What do I mean by impress? Well, I don't mean that everyone you know and everyone you meet knows how many listings you have or how many awards you won last year. What I mean is that you take the time, over and above what you technically have to do, to make someone else's day. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But remember, the people we know socially have tremendous social networks of their own that they would be delighted to share with us if they're, yes, impressed with us. So what are some examples of impressing? Well, in your personal life, how about helping a friend host or clean up after her baby shower? How about remembering to follow up with a friend you had lunch with last week to find out how her job interview went? Offering to check in on your neighbor's cat while he's out of town? From a business perspective, how about spending a few hours with a not-yet-qualified buyer who can't buy for 6 months or a year? driving across town to show your listing to a buyer who says he already has an agent who happens to be busy that day, doing a quality market analysis for a seller who is probably just looking for refinance data. Of course, you can't physically impress nearly as many people as you can touch, but when you impress someone, they notice and they remember.